Welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church in Duncanville, Texas. Today is Pentecost Sunday, the birthday of the church, the day the Holy Spirit was poured out on Jesus' disciples, empowering them to spread the gospel throughout the world. We're also reflecting on the difficult events of the last week. Join us now for our message, When Can We Breathe? Good morning and welcome to worship here at Trinity United Methodist Church in Duncanville, Texas. I'm the senior pastor. I'm Jane Grainer.
My name is Wesley McCall. I'm the music director.
And we want to welcome all of you here for this Pentecost Sunday. As usual, we will be taking live prayer requests. So just go ahead and post your joys and your concerns there on Facebook. And also, if you have a special blessing, go ahead and be posting that as well. And we'll lift you up later during the prayer time of our service. If you are so moved, you're invited now to make an offering to the ministry of this church through our website or for the Church Center app, and we appreciate all those who have been doing that. Also, if you want to, you can go to our website and sign up for our newsletter, tumcd.org, scroll down and you can sign up for now. And so now let us enter into a spirit of worship and prayer.
We'll start this morning with our call to worship. It is responsive. The response is, Come, Holy Spirit. Spirit of the living God, visit us again on this day of Pentecost.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Like a rushing wind that sweeps away all barriers.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Like tongues of fire that set our hearts aflame.
Come, Holy Spirit.
With speech that unites the babble of our tongues.
Come, Holy Spirit.
With love that overlaps the boundaries of race and nation,
come, Holy Spirit.
With power from above to make our weakness strong,
come, Holy Spirit.
And now our opening prayer for this morning. Perplexing Pentecostal God, you infuse us with your Spirit, urging us to vision and dream. May the gift of your presence find voice in our lives, that our babbling may be transformed into discernment, and the flickering of many tongues light an unquenchable fire of compassion and justice. Amen.
Amen. Late last night, I already had a completely finished, polished Pentecost sermon ready to go for this morning. And I decided in light of the events of this last week that that sermon was no longer the appropriate sermon for this Sunday morning. So at 10 p.m. last night, I sat down and I wrote a completely new sermon that I wanted to share with you a little bit later today. But I think all of us are very concerned about what's happening in our nation during this last week with the murder of George Floyd and all the other demonstrations and protests that we've seen around the nation. Normally, we encourage people to wear red for Pentecost, and I do have a bright red clergy shirt. But I thought under the circumstances that this more subdued burgundy might be better under these circumstances where we see the red of the Holy Spirit and all the promise that it brings, but along with the realization that right now there is blood in our streets. And so we wanted to address this morning, and Wesley and I have been discussing this morning about all the things that have happened this last week. And I know you had some very strong feelings.
Well, we were texting yesterday. I sent her some articles that I found perfectly encapsulated the feelings on the issue, including one that was written by a black journalist who was imploring her white friends and colleagues just to try to take a step back and understand this from the perspective of a person of color. So as a white person, with the privilege that I have because I am a white person, I can walk down the street and not live my life in fear. It's hard for me to know what to say. By saying something, I could unintentionally do further harm. By not saying anything at all, I could also unintentionally do further harm. So I'm gonna try my best to put my thoughts out there, and this is what I have. The first and most important thing I think we need to do is we need to acknowledge what happened to George Floyd, and we need to accept that this was, without question, a murder of a black man at the hands of a white cop. That's exactly what happened here. And I don't know if you have seen the graphic video, I would assume most of you have, but this man was pleading for his life. He was pleading to breathe, and this cop had his knee on his neck and quite literally squeezed the life out of him. That is what happened. Make no mistake. We need to acknowledge the anger and the hurt and the protests because they are righteous in their genesis. They are righteous in their reason. We as Christians, particularly those of us who are white, have to be very, very careful how we proceed here, because I have seen a number of troubling things from white friends and white colleagues of mine this week, cherry-picking the words of the Bible or of the parables of Jesus or of the words of Martin Luther King, talking about how nonviolence and non-aggression is the only appropriate response here. But we have to give context to the outrage, and Jane will go into that in her sermon here in a little bit. The thing that has me most upset is I am consistently seeing explicitly Christian justifications for shifting the narrative from the real problem, the cause of our issue, which is the systemic racism in our society and the death of people of color at the hands of white folks. That's the problem. But we're using Christian justifications to shift the narrative from the problem to the moral question of looting and rioting. And that, to me, completely, completely misses the point of what is going on here. And I refer to this example from John 2. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their table. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" And Jesus answered, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." In a moment of righteous anger and righteous indignation, Jesus destroyed a temple. He made a whip of cords, overturned the money tables, made a mess of the place, and destroyed the temple. Who are we, therefore, to say that the anger of the black community or people of color is misplaced or being handled in a wrong way? I want to discuss this also from a teacher's perspective. If I have a student who is exhibiting disruptive or destructive behavior, whether to themselves or to other people, I don't excuse it or I don't condone it, because all actions do have consequences. But my job, and more importantly, my moral imperative as a teacher, is to embrace the child's pain and try to get to the root of what is going on. What is causing this child to act the way they are acting? It is not my job to judge. It is not my job to tell them that they are wrong for the feelings that they have and the way they are choosing to express. It is simply my job to try to help them. I don't always have the answer for that. I don't always know how to do that. But that doesn't mean I should not try. So, am I condoning the violence? Absolutely not. But I can't condemn it either. I don't have that right. The color of my skin does not give me the right to tell someone else that the feelings they have and the ways in which they are choosing to express them, I don't have the right to tell them that they are wrong for that. And those are my feelings.
To paraphrase the words from Ecclesiastes, there's a time to remain silent and there's a time to speak up. And sometimes there's a time to act up. I think we normally come to the passing of the peace at this point in our service, and I often say we cannot be together in the same place, but we can be together in the same time. But I also want us to be together in the same spirit, so more so than on a typical Sunday morning, I want to bless you and say, please, peace be with you.
And also with you. Holy God, author of the Word made flesh, open us to your Holy Spirit, that as Scripture is spoken and your word is proclaimed, we may be comforted, convinced, and changed to the glory of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Now for the scripture, which is from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them the ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one of them heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Yesterday afternoon, as I watched the SpaceX Crew Dragon blast off into outer space, I was sitting on the edge of my sofa with tears in my eyes, because for the first time since 2011, NASA astronauts were blasting off from American soil. And it was the first time in 40 years that American astronauts had blasted off in an entirely new spacecraft. And it made me have flashbacks to my childhood when I would watch every single Apollo launch with bated breath, wanting more than anything that I could be on board. One of my clearest memories of the entire Apollo era was Christmas Eve of 1968, as the Apollo 8 astronauts were orbiting the moon, the first humans ever to leave the gravity of our planet and visit another world. And to mark the significance of the occasion, each of the astronauts read in turn from the creation story that's found in the first chapter of the book of Genesis. "In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day." It was also that Christmas Eve evening that astronaut William Anders looked out the window and he saw the blue orb of the Earth come up over the moon's horizon. And he grabbed a Hasselblad camera, loaded some color film as fast as his fingers could move, and he shot one of the most iconic photographs of the 20th century, Earthrise over the lunar surface. I remember after that photo, we never saw the Earth in the same way ever again. We were awestruck by the seeming vulnerability of our beautiful planet. Those bright blue oceans, the wispy white clouds, that thin, fragile atmosphere. And those brown continents, devoid of any indication of where one nation ended and another nation began. It almost looked peaceful. Of course, nothing could be further from the truth. 1968 was one of the most divisive, disturbing, and war-torn years of the entire second half of the 20th century. The year started with the Prague Spring, where the people of Czechoslovakia enjoyed a brief, fleeting breath of freedom until the Soviet tanks came and crushed both their bodies and their spirits. Later that month, the Tet Offensive began, taking the Vietnam War to a new and more grisly level. From then on, the war became an albatross around the neck of President Johnson. The May Lai Massacre just further alienated the American people as student protests sprung up over all the nation's campuses. That summer, after finishing a campaign speech, Robert Kennedy was cut down by the assassin Sirhan Sirhan. The subsequent Democratic convention in Chicago was racked by violent clashes between anti-war demonstrators and police. That year, the third party candidate George Wallace ran a campaign based on the promise of segregation now, segregation tomorrow, segregation forever, before Richard Nixon won the presidential election that fall. And the event that 1968 may be best remembered for, more so even than the assassination of RFK, was the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King. And that day was followed by days of race riots. I was 6 years old, and I remember being very scared, seeing all those demonstrations and protests on TV. I honestly feared, as a six-year-old, that our nation was descending into a race war. And I remember thinking, I don't want to kill black people, but what if I have to just to defend my family? It didn't seem like anything that Jesus would want to happen. I shared my fears with my older brother, who laughed at me and told me I was being ridiculous, as only an older sibling can say. My mother was more reassuring as she explained that people were just very angry that Dr. King had been shot and there was not going to be a race war. Of course, I was thinking later about how much any African-American parent would love to be able to reassure their child that they would be safe in the streets. But by the end of that horrible year, 1968, Apollo 8 flew to the moon, and even if it was only just for a little while, we could forget everything that was wrong with the world and come together as a people and marvel at both the heights of human accomplishment and the wonders of a creation and a creator who left us in exquisite awe of something that was larger than ourselves. After they returned to Earth, the Apollo 8 astronauts received thousands of grateful letters from people all over the world. But the one letter they remembered most was from an American housewife who simply said, "Thank you for saving 1968. So yesterday, as I sat watching the SpaceX Dragon crew ascend through the atmosphere, followed by news reports of the demonstrations and the riots protesting the murder of George Floyd, all the while trying to stay safe during a global pandemic, it kind of felt like 1968 all over again. I'm sure most of you agree that 2020 is going to end up being one of the most difficult years of our lives. And today is Pentecost Sunday, the birthday of the church, the day the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the disciples of Jesus Christ, propelling them into a world that was filled with riots and violence and foreign occupations, a world that desperately needed to hear the gospel that there was a still more excellent way. Three of the most common symbols of the Holy Spirit are represented in our scripture today. First came the rushing wind. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Both of our biblical languages, both Hebrew and Greek, use the same word to mean both wind, breath, or spirit. The Hebrew word is ruach. When the Apollo 8 astronauts read from Genesis 1:1, they came across the English translation for ruach. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. A wind from God could just as easily be translated a spirit from God, or the spirit of God. It shows us how the Holy Spirit didn't just show up for the first time at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit was present and working there from the very beginnings of the creation of our world. And that same Spirit came rushing into that upper room where the disciples sat that first Pentecost morning. And they were able to breathe the Spirit directly into their lungs, filling them with the fortitude and the courage that they would need for their mission ahead. But I can't help but juxtapose the life-giving breath of the Holy Spirit with the cries of George Floyd as he pleaded for his life, crying, "I can't breathe," as Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin dug his knee into his throat. As the disciples were surrounded and filled with the Holy Spirit, divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. Juxtapose that with the fires that blazed in many cities as protests turned into riots. After the tongues appeared on the head of each, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. All those in the street below were able to hear the gospel proclaimed in their own native tongue. Many in the crowd were amazed, but others accused them of being drunk. They sneered and said they are filled with new wine. I've always found this odd, because I've never known inebriation to bestow anyone with the ability to speak in foreign languages. In fact, drink too much and you may lose the ability to speak in your own language. But nowadays, it might be better to ask the Holy Spirit to help us not so much speak, but to listen and to understand the language of others. Martin Luther King said, "I think America must see that riots do not develop out of thin air. Certain conditions continue to exist in this society, which must be condemned as vigorously as we condemn the riots. In the final analysis, a riot is the language of the unheard." That could have been written yesterday. Now, make no mistake, I unequivocally condemn the riots and the violence and the looting that has occurred as part of this week's demonstrations, and I commend the vast majority of law enforcement officers who have acted professionally and admirably in the last few days. But as King said in the final analysis, a riot is the language of the unheard. We need to hear the language of the oppressed and the downtrodden and the just plain tired. I want to share with you an Instagram post just from the last day or two from our former First Lady, Michelle Obama. "Like so many of you, I'm pained by these recent tragedies, and I'm exhausted by a heartbreak that never seems to stop. Right now, it's George and Breonna and Ahmaud. Before that, it was Eric, Sandra, and Michael. It just goes on and on and on. Race and racism is a reality that so many of us grow up learning to just deal with. But if we ever hope to move past it, it can't just be on people of color to deal with it. It's up to all of us, black, white, everyone, no matter how well-meaning we might think we might be, to do the honest, uncomfortable work of rooting it out. And it starts with self-examination and listening to those whose lives are different from our own. It ends with justice, compassion, and empathy that manifests in our streets. I pray that we all have the strength for that journey, just as I pray for the souls and the families of those who were taken from us." In the interest of bipartisanship, I want to add that I was greatly heartened on Friday when on the news I saw our conservative Republican governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, visibly angry over the death of George Floyd and in complete agreement that that officer was guilty of murder and should have been arrested, and his determination that that should never happen in the state of Texas. 2 months ago, you may remember that I challenged every person in this congregation to read at least one book on racism this year, and I want to repeat this challenge to each of us. Now, we have a book table that's out there in our hallway, but of course, we won't be having in-person worship now for a while. So I'm going to be making a suggested list of books for you to consider and running it in the next copy of Trinity Times, which is our church newsletter. And I implore you to make this commitment for 2020 So maybe this year can have a better year than it has a beginning. The original Pentecost was the birthday of the church. Maybe this Pentecost can mark the rebirth of the church. We've already discussed over the last few weeks that the pandemic is giving us a chance for a do-over if we just have the wisdom to seize the opportunity. No one knows what's going to happen. The only thing that most people agree on is that our society and our church is going to be changed on a tectonic level after this year. We can feel the plate shifting under our feet. Will new ground be revealed to us, or will a tsunami of death sweep us away? I make no promises. I only have faith, but it's not too late to save 2020. By the end of this year, our society can reach a new level of racial understanding and reconciliation where those who feel that they can't breathe are able once more to inhale the healing oxygen of the Holy Spirit. The soothing words of the gospel of peace can once more be heard in the streets of our nation. By the end of this year, our church could be firmly committed to new frontiers of mission and ministry, on fire with the Holy Spirit and ready to consume the dross of apathy and hate and hopelessness. As the Apostle Peter proclaimed through the words of the prophet Joel, in the last days, God's Spirit will be poured out upon all flesh, male and female, slave and free. The young shall see visions and the old shall dream dreams. May we have the ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Amen. Thank you so much, Jenna and Brenda. That was beautiful, and I think very healing for our souls. And now we come to the part of our service where we lift our joys and concerns up to the Lord. And of course, today we want to be praying for our nation, praying for all of us to be able to come to a place where we can get past the impasse that our country seems to be continually in these days, and to be able to come to a new place of healing and a place where we can work together to bring this healing upon our nation. I want to particularly pray for the family and friends of Ahmaud Arbery and Breonna Taylor and George Floyd, the three latest African-American victims of police violence just in these last few months. And I want to pray that their deaths will not be in vain, that they will motivate a nation to take a new look. But I want to be praying for our law enforcement officers. I know they face sometimes an almost impossible task of trying to make life and death decisions in the blink of an eye. And I want to thank God for the vast majority of them who do their jobs with honor and conviction and with brave courage to be able to protect us all. And I want to be able to acknowledge the gift that they give us as a society, be able to walk free in the streets. We just pray that those who are not suited for a career in law enforcement will be able to find a different calling. It also occurred to me, before I go on with that, we do have, though, another prayer request. We want to continue to be praying for Randy Knight. He's still in the hospital, the ICU, waiting for a heart transplant. And so we want to continue to keep Randy in our prayers, as well as his family and his medical team and the donor family, whoever that might be. And so for these things now that we pray, I pray, Lord, in your mercy, and please respond, hear our prayer. So for the condition of our nation, our hope for peace, Lord, hear our prayer. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For the law enforcement officers with honor who protect us with honor, Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For those like Randy who are suffering from various medical issues, for those with transplants or with COVID, and for all our medical teams that are still on the front lines of our fight with this pandemic, Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
But I also want to be able to give some thanks. It occurred to me this last week, before any of the terrible ugliness of this week unfolded in our nation, how much I wanted to give a prayer of thanks for my worship gang that's here with me every Sunday morning, helping us to put forth this live stream of our worship service. And that includes, of course, Wesley here by my side, Jenna, who plays for us beautifully and is usually taking all of our prayer requests that y'all put on Facebook, Brenda for her beautiful music that she comes in with every week, and for the Elliots, all three of you, for which I could never do this without the three of you. So I would like to lift a prayer of thanks for all of you who have been helping me with this worship service. So I say this is the work of the Lord. Please respond, thanks be to God. And this worship gang is the work of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And it's also a day of birthdays. Pentecost is the birthday of the church.
That's why these are here.
But you may not know that today is also the birthday of our very own Wesley McCall.
It's a big one. I turned 30 today.
He is finally a grown-up. And we celebrate with you that we get to have the celebration for the birthday of the church and the birthday of Wesley and into his new decade of this next phase of his life. But we also want to remember that this day would also have been the birthday of our beloved Jim Lawrence, and to remember how much we miss him and we wish he were still with us. But knowing and having faith that he is still looking over us there in heaven, and that he is with us still in spirit. And so for the church, for Wesley, for Jim, this is the work of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I would also then like to lift up to the Lord all the gifts that have been given through this week and through this worship service, and to commit the gifts that we have given to the ministry of this church. So I lift up the gifts you have given the ministry of the church, because this ministry, this is the work of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And so now, with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray the prayer that our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Just remember, we have our normal Zoom Bible study Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. I still encourage you to be following us on Facebook, visit our website, and also download our podcast, Jane's Most Excellent Church Adventure. You can find there the sermons, Bible studies, and I hope to do some special interviews this coming week with some special folks who will be helping us to get through these difficult times and maintain our spiritual and our psychological health. So please now then receive this benediction. Go forth in the joy of the Holy Spirit. Feel the power of the holy wind and fire in our lives. Go forth into the Creator's world as God's very own children, emboldened and encouraged by this holy power. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen, and go in peace. We hope you enjoyed today's service and that you experienced God's blessings. Join us next Sunday here on Facebook Live at 11 a.m. as we celebrate Trinity Sunday. We'll be exploring the Christian doctrine of the Trinity, so be here for Trinity Sunday at Trinity United Methodist Church. If you can't join us live, you can always listen to the recording of our service on our podcast, Jane's Most Excellent Church Adventure. God bless you in the week ahead and stay safe. We'll see you Sunday at Trinity United Methodist Church.